But we have so many opportunities, and if you enter into this 40 days of prayer with us, it's going to feel a lot more like a journey than a reminder to floss. That is my prayer for you. And some ways that we are inviting you to participate, we've got some tools. There is the 40 Days of Prayer workbook, and it's a beautiful piece. It's got daily devotions that are simply 40 different prayers that are in the Bible that different people in Scripture are praying. And you can get that from the Rick Warren website. They're sold out of it on Amazon.com. I think other people are like, we've got to get back to some basics and prayer, because that's going to affect all these other issues going on in our world more than anything. Secondly, and this you can do without the book, of course, is go to YouTube and type in 40 Days of Prayer lesson. And there's 7 lessons. How many people have seen the lessons? I think they are beautiful. They're so well done. Please get caught up. Each lesson's about 25 minutes. And we're coming up on lesson 3, so you're only 2 behind if you haven't watched any of them yet. They are moving, and they are so rich. Rick Warren is a great teacher. Thirdly, we've got a weekday Zoom prayer group that is at 11 a.m. If you have any questions about that, you can call the office, or it's on our Dexter at a Glance. We've got a 24-hour prayer vigil on Wednesdays. And then the other big thing that we mentioned earlier is Tara Sutton, this friend of mine. She and I are a part of a group that's meeting every 2 weeks to talk about race as pastors. She happens to be African-American, and I'm Euro-American, and we're talking about what we can do with a group of Methodist clergy and how we can make a difference. But this prayer workshop is going to be really good. It's going to be done safely. It's going to be done in the gym, spread out, and just praying for 2 hours. You will be amazed how good that is. With all that going on, would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Take my lips and my teeth, and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, something crazy occurred to me this week, and it was this. Even with what everybody is going through, each on individual levels, as groups, everything that we're facing, everything that you're facing. You know, this has the potential to be your greatest season of your life yet. With everything going on, this has the great potential to be your greatest season of your life yet, because the potential to pray is in you. I'm challenged, because if you're going to grow in prayer, though, then you're going to have to do something. You know, it's one thing to talk about it, hear a little bit about it, but unless you change your routine, unless you allow yourself to be transformed, unless you say, God, use me, fill me, open me up to what this kind of prayer could be in my life, it'll be a nice 6 weeks with some brunch conversation. And that'll be it. Instead, what would happen if you did something about what we're talking about? You know, for me, accountability is everything. Accountability has challenged me, it has transformed me, and I want to challenge you to see how God will transform you during these 40 days of prayer. Now, you have to realize, for me, I learned I'm as self-disciplined as I'm ever going to get about anything, working out, prayer, scripture reading. But if somebody else says, I'm doing it along with you, I'll do anything. Because I've got people. People are my web, I guess. I don't even know what you call it, my grid. So if you say, I'm going to do this, I'll say, I would love to join you in that. I'll do it alongside you. Maybe that's what you need for accountability, is somebody to come alongside you and say, yes, let's do this. And I want to do that, and I want to offer that all of us commit to pray on our own. Remember the secret to prayer? In our groups, in our ministries, in our families, with our kids, with our friends, over our work. This is your chance for 40 days. for you to stop in the middle of a conversation when something's coming up and say, you know what? I know this sounds weird, but let's just pray about it. Lord, I pray that you would help me with this phone call. I pray, God, that you would help us with this decision. Lord, we don't know what to do next, so we seek you. Lord, thank you for this moment with this person. And we ask that you would bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. A prayer like that could change not just your life, but somebody that you're praying with. And get over awkward. Awkward stops us from way too many great things. Our fear of awkward. This is your chance in these 40 days. You may be facing discouragement because of your situation or your family or the news. We live in unprecedented times. Don't you kind of miss the precedented times? Like, whoever thought of it like that? If you are praying, you're not giving up. If you're giving up, chances are you're not praying. Let me say that again, because we kind of think prayer's nothing. It's sort of like flossing our teeth. If you are praying, you're not giving up. And if you're giving up, chances are you may not be praying. I know prayer feels like a chore. Most of us are too busy to pray. I'm too caught up myself saying, I don't have time for this. I'm too busy to pray. But listen, if you're that busy, which I'm sure you are, it means, like the old line, you're too busy not to pray. If you are that busy, you're too busy not to pray. We miss 1,000 blessings because we're too busy to commune with God. How is the question? Do you carve out time? For you, is it at the morning? For you, is it in your car? For you, is it over your lunch hour? Is it in the evenings? Is it with a friend on a phone? Is it through texting? Anything to build up this prayer muscle in you over these 40 days. And if you're wondering how, know that you're in good company. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus' own disciples, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. You know, if I were there, I'd have been like, teach me some of those miracles. I'd be like, you are an amazing teacher. Can you teach me how to teach? Can you teach me how to preach? But they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to do these healings or these miracles. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Because they knew prayer was the power behind everything Jesus did. Somehow in their lives, that was evident to them. We've already seen in the lessons and in the video lessons some of the answers of how. First of all, prayer was God's idea. You were designed, you were created for prayer. Think about it. Giraffes don't pray, chimpanzees don't pray, people pray. You were designed that way. In every culture around the globe, people pray. You fulfill God's purpose for your life when you take time to pray. Everybody's like, oh, what's God's purpose for my life? What's God's purpose for my life? The fact is, God's purpose for your life is that you commune with Him, that you pray with Him, that you draw your attention to Him, and that you rest there for a while. This season can be your greatest. You want to be more dedicated to God? Pray. Because prayer is an act of dedication. You want to be in contact with God and communicate with God? Jesus says, I call you friends. Pray. It's an act of communication with God. You want to share with God your deepest desires, your deepest needs? Share them with Him. He wants you to name them with Him. That's called prayer too. You want to give God your greatest, you want to give yourself to a great cause that will never go away. The greatest cause on earth, the advancement of the gospel, the mission for which Jesus Himself came. Pray. When you pray, you are partnering with God. In other words, the secret to life is prayer. And last week we talked about the secret to prayer, Jesus says, is secret prayer. Go into a room, close the door. Why is it that we think our kids don't need this? Why is it we struggle to get them to understand everything from how to play sports to how to understand the makeup of a cell, but we don't get them taught in prayer? Jesus' disciples weren't figuring it out either, and they asked. And Jesus said this. This is from Matthew chapter 6. When you pray, don't keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. You know, that's what pagan worship is. I offer this to you, God, to manipulate you to do something for me. That is pagan worship. That is not God worship. So when you pray, don't keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus teaching how to pray. We're going to break it down into several steps, and we're going to make this a 1-2 punch. We're going to talk about the first half of Jesus' instructions, his model of how to pray. You don't have to use these exact words, but the model of what Jesus names before the disciples that he brings to God is what we are called to do. So first of all, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father who art in heaven is how a lot of us still pray it. In other words, we can be confident in prayer because we are praying to our Heavenly Father. God is a good Father. He is a close Father. He is a caring Father. He is a consistent Father. He is a competent Father. That's from lesson 2 of the video. He is that good. Listen, you can try to make God stop loving you. You will fail. He is that good of a Father. God is that loyal to you. God is as close as my prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. And God says, let's use familial terms. I want to be on a familial relationship with you. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's the first request. The first prayer is so basic. The first thing we ask, hallowed be your name. To hallow in the Greek word is the word hagios, which means holy, like Hagia Sophia in Istanbul. Holy, set apart, treated as holy. The 40 days then, when you begin your prayers, hallowed be your name, you're not rushing to your laundry list, bless me, help me, bless me, bless me, help me, bless me, help me. That's not kind of what we reduce prayer to, but Jesus says, wait. Stop. Pause. Let's talk about this. But the first thing that he is saying is when you rush into God's presence, you don't demand something. You come to relate. First of all, he just wants a love relationship with you. Hallowed be your name. You come to his presence. You recognize God is God and we are not. And then what he can do for you. We're so messed up that we could probably summarize most of our prayers in this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be my name. Right? It's about how can I do this, how can I do that? My kingdom come, my will be done. It's so critical that we learn it's hallowed be thy name. And listen, if you are unconfident about your praying, you need to know it's not about you. It's okay to forget about yourself. You are praying to a potent, an omnipotent, omnipresent, omni-loving God. We think prayer is primarily about us, though, and we can somehow manipulate our words and our wills and get God to do stuff or help us to understand stuff. That's that pagan way of prayer. Wooing God to do something for us, that's pagan. Hallowed be your name. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, this is a tough one. This is a surrender part of our prayer. Sometimes I wonder how to respond when it doesn't seem like God's kingdom is coming, but it seems kind of like the opposite and so much is broken and people are mean to each other. How do you respond when it seems like God isn't there? What do you say to your kids about shootings and racism and meanness that you see online in people? When tragedy strikes, what do you do? When that phone call comes. Listen, we also would like to be here at the church, your second or third phone call when you get that bad news. There's people you need to tell. But then we would want to be able to pray with you. We would want to be able to support you in whatever you're facing that's one of those kind of phone calls. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Lord. Now, when tragedy strikes, the world will say, well, that's because God's not really there. And if he is, how could he allow this to happen? But the Christ follower begins with the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, Lord. And then you start being the one to act upon it, adjusting your will, adjusting your thinking to God's will and God's way. One example that happened for Lee and me was years ago, I would pray for children, for the global children. And many of you who know us know that kind of changed our lives, not because we even moved anywhere, but because I got this persistent phone call from a woman with a strange accent saying that in 2 weeks, this little two-year-old needs a host family from Guyana. She was born with her bladder on the outside of her body. And God enabled me to answer my own prayer. But that could have so easily missed had we not been praying for children in the world. Thy kingdom come. So when you get that phone call, you pray this prayer for your friend, for your folks, for your kids. And then you start being the one to act on it, knowing God's going to do more than his share. But you adjust your will, you adjust your thinking to God's will and to God's way. Because here's what you say when people say, well, it must mean God's not there. We know when we offer this prayer that you end up being the living prayer for that person. You go be with that person who's lost a loved one, and you sit there and rest there and just be with them. That's called the ministry of presence. Don't go and say things and spout things off. Just go be with them. Help them with the dishes. Cut their grass. That's what people say they remember. The person who didn't just say, oh, I'll be praying for you from afar, but the person who prayed and then lived out their prayer. And when someone says, when God's not there, you say, well, I believe the reason is because God never designed the universe with racism or disease or abuse or war. Okay, then, if God is the creator, then what happened? And I would say this, because God desires a relationship with every human being of every age on the planet. God allows us to choose, from children to adults, whether or not we relate with him and with one another. It's only because we don't relate in God's way that we've created our current situation. The good news is God has given us a way to walk with people through every kind of circumstance because we know God has walked with us through everything that we have faced. And Jesus has taught us to pray for it, thy will be done. Even though we like to pray, my will be done, please, Lord. Thy kingdom come. I offer my life to be used for your purposes, God. Your plan, your promise. I give my life to you. All that I am, all the everyday ordinary decisions, Lord, they are a part of you. Because remember, good and evil have compound interest. Every good act, every evil act has compound interest. You want to change the future, start today. Thy kingdom come, and then thy will be done. I give God my pain and my sorrow, my surrender. I want it done on earth, Lord, like it is in heaven. Your will be done. And that takes anyone who's read the accounts of Jesus' life to the Garden of Gethsemane. When he's facing crucifixion for us and for our salvation, and what happens is he says, Lord, please take this cup from me, and yet not my will, but yours be done. Have you had a Gethsemane moment where you've been able to say, Lord, this is your will, and I'm in it with you? You know, you can make surrender a part of your daily prayer. You don't have to wait for the earthquakes or the faith quakes to come. Then Jesus moves on. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, obviously, Jesus wasn't just saying, pray for the wheat fields of the world, whether it comes out as penne pasta or bread or crackers. Give us today our daily bread. Jesus is talking about bread. Yes, it was a staple diet of the Jews, but by bread, this is a powerful reminder of God's provision for his people in the wilderness thousands of years earlier. And the fact is, you need God's provision in this wilderness because we are missing the precedented days as we are living in these unprecedented times. Daily bread means our needs. And a lot of time we spend in great anxiety and fear or even anger about our needs. Have you heard the story about how after the Korean War ended, South Korea was left with a huge number of children who had been orphaned by the war? Relief agencies during that time came in to deal with the problems that arose in connection with having so many orphaned children. Even though the children had three meals a day provided for them, the kids were having tremendous, extreme anxiety about whether they would have food the next day. To help resolve the problem, relief workers in one particular orphanage did something really unique. At bedtime, they placed a single piece of bread in each child's hand, not to be eaten, but to be held by the children as they went to sleep. It was a security blanket for them, and it worked. In other words, when you put your focus on God and on His will and on His kingdom, you can get that specific, that much of a need to deal with whatever angle you're being confronted with in your anxiety or your depression or your fear. Our problem is we mostly just pray in some vague, general way. And then when that happens, we only see God in some vague, general way. Now, I think a lot of us, especially adults, we like to pray in vague generalities because it's like hedging our bets. We want to be covered in case our prayer doesn't get answered in the exact wording that we pray it. So we pray in this blanket way of understanding. When what Jesus is inviting us to is to give us this day our daily bread, to avoid praying in a vague general way so that we can avoid seeing God in some vague general way. Total dependence on the Father is what Jesus is saying. Bring God the things you need, the problems facing you. My God will meet all your needs, Scripture says. Depend on Him. And if He met all your needs at once, we'd be like, okay, I'm done. That's why Jesus didn't say, give us today a week's supply. Because He wants to be with us daily, because He loves us that much. Do not worry. Interesting when we look at how God uses bread in Scripture. Remember when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness? He told Satan, we shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus told his disciples in Sychar, I have food to eat you know nothing about. He told the crowds, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. There is food in our lives today that is the kind of food that endures to eternal life. It has to do with God's mission and the worship of the living God. And Jesus says, which the Son of Man will give you. Then Jesus declared to his closest disciples, I am the bread of life. The one who comes to me will never go hungry. The one who believes in me will never be thirsty. And Jesus said this to his followers in the Sermon on the Mount. Would you read this with me together? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's daily bread. We need God. We need prayer. Lord, I just thank you so much for the opportunity you have given us to dive in for 40 days in prayer with you, for you. And the benefits that we experience are so powerful. Lord, I pray that you would give me my daily bread, my daily wisdom, my daily strength, my daily support, my daily connection, my daily hope, my daily faith. I'm not asking for tomorrow, Lord, just for today. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's what I'm asking for. All of you, think about this. Would you be willing to commit to pray daily with me for the rest of this month, every day? Can you see it? Do you see? Prayer isn't this last resort. Prayer isn't just a reminder of something that we think we might or might not need, but we know it's good for us. In this time of 40 days of prayer, we want to be a praying church more than ever before, that we may declare the truth that there is power in the name of Jesus in these unprecedented times. You know, one more thing about daily bread. Jesus never just provides spiritual facts. Remember how he was with his disciples for 3 years, and now it's the night he knows he's going to die, the next day. You'd expect him to give you every last drop of truth, spiritual points, facts to the disciples to make sure that they didn't miss what it was about to happen on the cross. The best sermon of his life, right? Or at least a huge recap of everything that he'd taught them. Here's an outline of the atonement. Memorize this. But he doesn't. What does he do? Jesus ate with them. Give us this day our daily bread. To describe the atonement and the cross and the biggest event in human history, Jesus gave him a meal, not a theory or a formula or equation. He used bread and wine to describe the cross. Our daily bread in 2020 is just the same. For the rest of this year, the next 40 days, it's prayer. As we approach communion today, we take this time to pray again. Would you join me in this Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.